What up, sports fans? Welcome to episode 7. Welcome to the Cinema Movie Podcast presents Sports Breakers. We are your hosts. We are your guys, the front line. I'm Juan. That's Craig.
What up? What up?
Man, what a week. You know, we keep saying we need football. We need football to talk about, but it's been like the opposite, man. There's a bunch going on. We got some NBA playoffs that are getting ready to kick off on Saturday. The WNBA draft just happened. That's another thing I want to bring that up to you. Like, is that just the beast of the game? Like, the Final Four just happened a week ago, and then less than 2 weeks is the WNBA draft. Like, why waste any time, right?
Well, it's like that because the seasons are a little bit different for WNBA and college basketball or women's college basketball compared to like NFL and the NFL draft and college football. So they got to get them in there. They got to get them drafted and trained up and start preparing for the season. So.
And then, man, we are less than 90 days away from the 2024 Olympic Games. I think that'll be kind of interesting to talk about some of the games and some of the strategies going into those.
Yeah.
Some great stories going on too with the Olympics this year.
Good thing about that every 4 years, you know, you got the Olympics, so that kind of eats away some of your downtime during the summer. Spring games are happening, so checked out a little bit of the Georgia, the Florida, Tennessee. I think Arkansas was up. Ohio State was on, like you had said. I swapped over to that one once you had mentioned it. Checked out some of the spring games. You know, you're not seeing anything too competitive, but it's on grass. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, it's just good to see them.
Yeah.
In uniform. Speaking of the Olympics, man, is there anybody that can beat our Olympic team? I mean, I'm looking at this roster. You got Kevin Durant. You got LeBron James, Steph Curry,
Anthony Edwards. Davis. Joel Embiid joined the U.S. Olympics.
Yeah, I mean, is it fair? I mean, you say Jason that,
Tatum.
But like, we've had an all-star group before lose, but this team is just Dream Team Part 2.
I'm not gonna say Dream Team because I think that 2014 Olympic team, 2012 Olympic team was that was something special, man. You had prime LeBron, you had Kobe before pre Achilles injury, you had just not D Wade, you know, go down the line, and it was everybody in their prime from that 2000s draft, and man, that was something special in 2012. You know, and you look back, and it's kind of sucks because you're like, you don't really know. I mean, we all knew that era of basketball was special, but you know, you go back and look, and it's like, I don't think – I think that 2012 team would beat a lot of teams. Like, if you were to stack up gold-winning teams in the Olympics, I think that 2012 team beats a lot of teams.
Mm. Yeah. It's insane. It's going to be interesting to see. Who do they decide who coaches that team, or do they have to have a coach in line?
It is Steve Kerr.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he got extra time to – Yeah. Get ready for that.
Speaking of extra time and Steve Kerr and the Warriors, the Sacramento Kings, man, knocked them off just a few days ago. And we kind of talked about it over like a quick messaging about it being like maybe poetic justice, because for the last 10 years, you know, the Kings have just been dominated by the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
And Sacramento Kings knocked them off 118-94. You think that's the end of a golden era in Golden State? Klay Thompson was held for 0 points.
Yeah. You got to kind of think that it's – if that's not the nail in the coffin, the coffin's getting closed. I mean, yes, Steph is good, but when you consider a dynasty being done, it's when your big pieces start to be either removed or they retire, or you know what I mean. So I really do think that Clay's going to go somewhere else. I don't think that he feels like he fits in there. I mean, he got benched early in the season. He kind of got his groove midway towards the end, but I mean, it's not the same Warriors team, man. Clay's not that same player after his, I believe he had an Achilles as well. He's not that same guy. He can get hot every now and then, but it's, I really do think it's the end of that Golden State era.
And you know, Andrew Wiggins is not always on. It's almost like he's just too inconsistent. I don't see them going out and getting big names to help Steph Curry, but I mean, he's kind of like, you know, the Tom Brady of his team. If, as long as you have him, you're probably always in it, but you need some help out there.
No, I mean, he looked, he's like 35, 36 now, I believe. They don't have the biggest thing for the Warriors is their depth and role players. When you would go back and play the Warriors, you had, I mean, I wouldn't say prime Iguodala, but you had a very vet savvy Iguodala. You had just good role players coming off the bench that understood the system, understood what they needed to do. And with the whole thing, I won't even say Kevin Durant, because he came to them as a free agent, so they didn't lose anything. They probably lost some stuff because they wanted to retain him, so they made some choices with sending other people off or letting them go. But it's not like they traded for Kevin Durant. They didn't get anything for Kevin Durant, but.
And they accomplished a lot, you know, in that 10 years. I think what most wins in a season ever was like 72, right?
73-9.
Yeah.
Prior to Kevin Durant jumping on.
Yeah. And then, you know, in the same night, just a few nights ago, you had the Los Angeles Lakers in a terrific game. New Orleans Pelicans. I got to actually watch that whole game. Zion, 40 points. And it looked like they were going to walk away with it in the last 2 minutes, but he kind of came down gingerly on that leg. And he got out of the game last 2 minutes. Right? 2-3 minutes?
Yeah, it was like 4 minutes left, 3 minutes left. I mean, he had like 40 on the night, was kind of getting anything he wanted to from like that second quarter on. And it sucks, dude. Just when Zion starts to kind of get his groove and maybe help the Pelicans turn that corner, something happens. And I don't think – I'm not going to say it's his weight. I'm not going to say it's his durability. It's just – that's a freak accident. You dude can run up and down the court all day long, gets down the court in like 4 seconds, just does a normal jumper, comes down on his leg, gets hurt. It's not anything you can control, man.
That's insane, man. But they play again tomorrow, Friday night, 8:30, Sacramento Kings, Pelicans, play-in tournament. And then you got the Bulls and Heat. And the playoffs start Saturday, man. Are you excited? Who do you got in these last two play-in matchups? Bulls, Heat, and then Kings, Pelicans.
Yeah, let me go ahead and get with Zion, and I think Ingram's out as well. I'm going to take Sacramento, and man, Chicago looked hot against, I can't even remember who they played. Atlanta, although Atlanta was kind of, I'm not going to say injury ridden, but Trae Young was coming back off of an injury. He probably wasn't in the best shape. Their depth was kind of shaky. Give me Sacramento and Miami to go on. Miami. Yeah,
we'll talk opening round. Who do you got winning the Eastern opening round in that best of seven. Orlando Magic, Cleveland Cavaliers. Who's moving on?
I don't know of any big injuries for Cleveland, so give me Cleveland. I think they're pretty healthy. I think Donovan Mitchell is going to be the big difference maker in that series. He was, if I remember correctly, he was on fire last year in the playoffs. So let me get Cleveland in that first round. Bucks Pacers. Depends on when Giannis gets back in. He's not getting in there to start it off. Pacers have given them trouble throughout the year. If Giannis can get back healthy game two, if they can survive game one and get him back game two, since they have home court, I think the Bucks will take it in five or six. If Giannis isn't available, give me the Pacers in seven if Giannis isn't available.
Pacers in seven. Dallas Mavericks, LA Clippers. Western Conference.
It's tough, man. Clippers are all about who's available. If everybody's available, I take the Clippers in six. If they're not available, give me Mavericks in five.
What about the reigning champs, the Denver Nuggets, take on the LeBron James and the Lakers? Man.
Give me Nuggets in six.
From what I hear, last year they got swept, didn't they? Did the Nuggets sweep them?
Yeah. They swept them last year in the Western Conference. It might have been 4-1. It was Western Conference Finals. LA was coming off from, you know, they made it all the way from the play-in. I don't think Denver is as hot as they were last year in playoff time. They've been kind of up and down these last – week and a half, 2 weeks. I still think they have too much depth, and they match up really well with LA. So give me the Nuggets in six. Just because they're not playing that good. If they were hot like they were last year, I'd take them in four or five.
New York Knicks, Philadelphia 76ers.
Joel's coming back. He's kind of you know, he's trying to get his feet underneath him, but he's still balling. This will be a tough one. I think this one goes seven, and it goes either way. If I have to throw out a team, give me the Knicks just because of the two seed, but I think this will go seven.
And then is Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City. If I'm going to call Kings, so Oklahoma City versus the Kings – give me OKC in six.
So with the way the play-in is kind of ending, Los Angeles going to Denver, and then Golden State getting knocked out. How far do you see this Oklahoma City team going? Since we are in Oklahoma City, we got to talk about them a little bit longer.
Yeah, they're young. I'm going to completely disagree with Shannon Sharp. I saw him kind of talking about how they're the weakest one seed ever. Maybe is what I think you said. You look at this Western Conference, 1-10, probably the most competitive conference it's ever been, depth-wise. I don't think we've ever had a 1-10 like this. We've never had three teams. Yeah, it was the first time ever that we had three teams fighting for the one spot on the final day. There's no 73-9 Warriors team. You know what I mean? There's no Nuggets of last year. I mean, it's still the same Nuggets team, but like I said, they've been kind of off and on this year. I'm not going to sit here and say that the Thunder can't do anything more because of their age, because they've done nothing but play ball. They've grown together. Them being 23.8 years of age overall as the youngest seed means nothing, because they've been playing since they were 19, 20 years old for the last 2-3 years. Yes, Jalen's young, second year. Yes, Chet is young. He's technically a rookie, but it's his second year. But they've been playing nonstop. They've been playing, you know, as a team for 3-4 years together with Josh and Dort and Alexander. It's not like they just came together 1 year, you know what I mean? So I think with all the adversity they faced, with all the struggles and losing early on and learning from that and building it year after year, I think this is a Western Conference Finals bound team. They've shown all year, depending on the matchup. The only thing that bothers me is size. I'm not worried about them running against anybody. I'm not worried about people out shooting them. Only thing I'm worried about is just size. Nuggets give them it. We've tied the season series with the Nuggets, but they gave us issues with size. Milwaukee Bucks gave us issues with size. Boston gave us issues with size. Lakers, you can go on and on down the list. If Daigneault can game plan against that and create a good offensive game plan where you're not having to fight for offensive rebounds and you're able to play defensively where you can team rebound on the defensive end, they're the number one team for a reason in the West. They didn't just fall into it. I think, like I said, they fought for 4 years, most of them, as a team to get to this point. So you want to talk about having grit and determination. They've been through it for 4 years, not just one season. You know, the playoffs are going to be nothing different than what they've known. So that's how I see it. And whoever watches this, I don't know how many people watch this. You haven't shown me the downloads yet, but I called this last year. I have proof of it. I was in a group chat with a bunch of friends, and I said OKC will be a top three team in the NBA next year. Not just West, not just East. I said a top three team. They're two behind Boston, which means they're the second team overall. I saw this last year. I saw what they were building up. I saw the chemistry being built. I saw what Daigneault was running for his scheme. It's not just me being a homer. You can look and see the path that they were going, and it was clear to me. As a person who watches them night in, night out, I could see them coming. Yeah, I could see them coming. So
it should be interesting. They play, I believe, Sunday night, 7:30 or 8:30,
which is standard times. So dumb, dude.
You don't like the Sunday night game?
As the one seed in your conference, you should not have an 8:30 p.m. start Central Time for your first game. And then whenever it shifts over to the eight seed, they're going to have prime time 2:30.
So if they play the winner of Sacramento, New Orleans, then, right?
Yeah.
As a Thunder fan, who are you still confident if Sacramento wins, or are you like, man, let's hopefully an injured up New Orleans team wins?
Yeah. I mean, here's how I've been viewing the playoffs lately. 2012, I was, young, so I was like, oh man, I hope we win, or I hope we get this team so we can. If you're good, you're good. I don't care who you play. Now, matchup wise, it's a little different. You know, I'd rather match up versus a banged up Pelicans team. But at the end of the day, if you're good enough to win a championship, it shouldn't matter who you play.
That's true.
I think pieces will fall into place, and if you're good enough to win a championship, you're good enough to win a championship. That's all there is to it. So, of course, like I said, give me the Pelicans. That's who I'd rather play, but either one. They're the one seed for a reason.
The Stanley Cup playoffs kick off on Saturday. The Eastern Conference is completely matched up. We're still waiting on the Western Conference today. So Saturday you have the Toronto Maple Leafs, and they play the Boston Bruins. What a matchup, though, right? Just the names in general. And then also Saturday you have the New York Islanders and the Carolina Hurricanes, which I believe the Hurricanes are favored to win out of the Eastern Conference. And then Sunday you have the Washington Capitals and the New York Rangers. And you also have Sunday the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Florida Panthers. So there's a lot of buzz going around these Stanley Cup playoffs this year. And they kick off Saturday, same day as the NBA playoffs. So
yeah,
a lot of good sports coming up.
If you aren't a fan of hockey, you know, you're like, I can't do it. You know, playoff hockey is different, man. If you have you haven't watched playoff hockey and you just want to tune into something, I understand there's a lot of stuff going on this weekend, but tune into a game. Playoff hockey, when those two teams, when the puck dropped and they started fighting, like, come on now. Like, that's the stuff you're going to see night in, night out in playoff hockey. It's absolutely insane. You know, they're skating like 15, 20 miles an hour on ice, you know, so do a quick tutorial on YouTube to learn the rules. I know it's a very different rule set if you're not used to watching hockey or soccer, but it's fun, man. Playoff hockey is fun.
And it's true. Like, you know, it's almost like that in all sports. Regular season, professional leagues, fast, you know, nonstop. But when the playoffs hit, the speed is continuous. There's almost no breathing.
Yeah, because you're
closer to a championship.
You're fighting for your life at that point. You're fighting for your season. So, I've missed having something on the line come April, May, June in basketball. Haven't really had it since 2016. Thunder's had a couple of good teams in the playoffs, but there's something different when you know that your team is new to the playoffs and you have something to fight for and you don't know their ceiling. So I'm really getting that 2012, 2015, 16 vibe from this Thunder team. It's been fun to watch. But yeah, playoff time all around, just good stuff.
Let's dig into some of the new segment that we're talking about the next few weeks. We're going to be taking and talking about an NFL division and talking about teams. And we were like, you know, what better way than to start off with the defending Super Bowl champs division, the AFC West. So let's dig into it. We will talk the Kansas City Chiefs first. They finished 11-6 with an AFC West division championship, an AFC conference championship, and they won the NFL championship, the Super Bowl, in February. And this team kind of is just like, man, I'm sure people are tired of seeing them in and out winning and winning, but it's not like they got any worse in the offseason, even with the whole Rice scandal. You bring in Hollywood Brown.
Yeah.
And it's like the division kind of is – I think everybody wants the division to be competitive, but I mean, we'll talk about it now. In NFC, AFC West,
garbage.
You also had the Las Vegas Raiders last year. They finished 8-9. They were one game away from the playoffs. The Denver Broncos 8-9 after I think they had like a 5-2 start, and then the god awful Los Angeles Chargers 5-12. They bring in Harbaugh. They continue with Justin Herbert. Denver Broncos quarterback. They get rid of Russell Wilson. So it's kind of like, where do they go from here? The Las Vegas Raiders are the only team that I feel like can maybe challenge the Chiefs at the end of the day. But even then, it's going to take a long, hard, feel-good story for them to do it. But they did it last year. I mean, they won with no quarterback. They went into Kansas City and, or I don't know if it might have been in Vegas, but they beat the Chiefs just a few weeks before the playoffs started. So maybe, but that's a tall task. What do you see from this division? Is it through? Obviously, it runs through Kansas City, but
I don't bet very often, especially.
You're not going three-peat, are you?
No. Super Bowl, I won't go that far. But to win the division, if you want to choose a team to win their division prior to the season even starting, I guarantee you the Chiefs' odds aren't the greatest. But I feel like you put money on the Chiefs right now, maybe it's like plus 220 to win the division. I'm almost saying that's guaranteed money in your pocket. I wouldn't take my word for it. I'm not a gambling, not financial advice, but that's a pretty good-looking bet in my eyes. Just because the Chargers released top running back, top tight end, three of their top receivers, and remain Justin Herbert. So they're going to have pretty much an entirely new system with Harbaugh. I'm not saying he's not a good coach and can make something happen, but you need talent to make stuff happen. And if the system's there, you still need talent, which they will not have enough of. The Raiders, new coach, a lot of the same defense. Josh Jacobs is gone. There's some question marks out there at the quarterback and wide receiver position. And then the Broncos. This is a big old mess at the Broncos. So I think the only team that's going to have a consistent move from last year to this year is the Chiefs. And last year they won the division. So I why would you assume anything different?
Pending injuries if they can stay healthy.
Their backup quarterback is going to be I think they have a really good backup quarterback this year, too. They have Carson Wentz.
Oh, that guy.
I mean, I'm not saying he can win a Super Bowl, but he's not a slouch. I'd say he's still good enough to help the Chiefs win the division if Patrick Mahomes goes out week 8. Especially against, pretty much you're fighting against the Raiders. That's really the only team you're worried about.
Yeah. This doesn't have anything to do with the division, but week 1, what do you think of Green Bay at Philadelphia to kick off the entire season in a completely different country? Yeah.
Somebody had said that the Eagles may not be able to wear their home jerseys because their jersey color is the stadium, the team that plays in that stadium, their rival is that color. And they have like a no color, like you can't wear that color in that stadium. So you might see, even though the Eagles are the home team, you might see them in their away jerseys. Which would be funny and interesting.
But you know what also sucks, though, about that is, like, every NFL home game is so special and you don't have that many anyway. Are you a fan of taking these home games away from, let's say, Philadelphia and putting it, that's taking if you're a season ticket holder, you don't get compensation for that.
Yeah, you're still paying full. Per the team, I don't like it. Per the product, it's you get to see a team in a new area. It's probably going to be a completely different time slot than we're used to. So maybe like a 7:30 start in the morning, which you get football at 7:30, get like an hour to do whatever you need to do, and then you get the rest of the slate for the day on Sundays. It's another time to add football to the day when you're trying to consume as much as you can, because like you said, games are limited. We don't have 82 games, 162 or whatever baseball plays. in a season. So each one is precious. It does suck for the home teams because that's why I think college games mid-season should never be played away from home venues. I understand you want to do the whole Chick-fil-A kickoff in the Atlanta stadium, but it's like, bro, I want to go see my team. Like, yeah. It's cool. It's cool if you're not a season ticket holder, which I'm not, but it, like you said, it is one less game that you get to have them at home. It kind of ruins the whole aura of college football. It's NFL stadiums are not college, bro. It's not.
Getting back to the AFC West, the Los Angeles Chargers have the second most easiest schedule in the league this year.
Do that.
We don't have the exact time and you know when they're going to be played, but their home games consist of the Broncos, the Chiefs, the Raiders, the Ravens, the Bengals, the Saints, the Bucks, and the Titans. Away, they have the Broncos, the Chiefs, the Raiders, the Browns, the Steelers, the Patriots, the Falcons, the Panthers, and the Cardinals.
Yeah.
You think Harbaugh in his opening season has a playoff run, or maybe at least get to the playoffs?
Like I said, it all depends on, you know, maybe with it being a new system and operation from top to bottom, you're able to get in some of these new guys who are from college and kind of incorporate it. I mean, the good thing about this is Harbaugh's been in the NFL. He's been a college coach. He's been successful in both. He knows the difference. Maybe it'll be really helpful for him to go and help these guys transition from college to the NFL. It's like, hey, I've been in college. I played in the NFL. I've coached college. I've coached the NFL. Been successful in both as a player and coach for the most part. But if there was anyone who would be able to get a young roster to be successful if they had the second easiest schedule, probably because they play the Broncos and Raiders four times. And then, like you said, the Titans, which are probably going to be god-awful this year. Same with the Cardinals.
You don't know what you're going to get with the Patriots now that Belichick's gone.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're going to get. Honestly, I know you love him, but you don't know what you're going to get with the Bucks. Mayfield could have just an off day. Same thing with the Saints. How many wins do you see the Chargers getting this year?
You still have Herbert at the helm. If they get Marvin Harrison Jr. and he's able to transition to the NFL, I don't know.
I don't think he's going to be there.
Who?
Marvin Harrison Jr. I think he gets taken before they even get picked.
I would have a better time answering this closer to the season. It's just because you don't know who their team is yet. You know what I mean?
Still fun.
But second easiest schedule, I'd say 7-11 is probably right where I see them.
You mean 6-11? One more win than last year.
Yeah.
6-11. You know, I'll give them one more win than that. I think they're going to win 7 this year. I think they'll go 7-10.
7-10.
Yeah. I think they still miss the playoffs, but I think they're going to be headed in that right direction. Also, at the end of the day, I just don't trust Justin Herbert either.
Well,
especially being a big Dallas fan, he had the game won last year against the Cowboys. All he had to do was go down the field, and he just—I don't trust him.
Yeah, let's look at it. Let's look at this. So, I think they split with the Broncos. I think they split with the Raiders. So there's two wins. I think they beat the Panthers. They'll probably beat the Patriots. Probably beat the Cardinals. And then you have toss-ups with Falcons, Titans, Steelers, Bucks.
I think they'll beat the Patriots.
So you want to look at seven. I think you take away one of those guaranteed splits, you end up with seven, six or seven. Yeah.
And they picked this year in the draft at number five. A lot of them having gone Malik Nabers, wide receiver at LSU, because they think Marvin Harrison Jr. is getting taken number four, either with a mock trade through the Bills, or Arizona's just going to stay at four and picking.
Yeah. I mean, you still have Joey Bosa. They got J.K. Dobbins. Okay, I like that. They got Gus Edwards. Okay, so the running game's not too bad. I think they fit more so in that gun I formation than the pistol that they were doing in Baltimore. They have Hayden Hurst, Justin Herbert. Defense is still going to be pretty good. Quentin Johnson was kind of coming into his own a little bit last year. Still have Khalil Mack, which it's depending on how you want to look at that. They still have Donald Parham, Asante Samuel, J.K. Scott. It'll be interesting. I'm not seeing a lot of big-time talent on the offensive end. So we'll see. We'll see.
And then that takes us to – let's go to the Denver Broncos. Finished 8-9 last year. This year they have the 18th easiest schedule. At home they play the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Raiders, the Browns, the Steelers. They got the Colts at home, the Falcons at home, and the Panthers at home. On the road, it doesn't get any easier. They have the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Raiders, the Ravens. They play at the Bengals, at the Jets, at the Buccaneers, at Seattle, and at New Orleans. They got a tough road schedule this year.
Yeah, that's
brutal.
Five of those are probably the toughest away stadiums in the league.
And let's not forget, the Jets are no slouches at home. And if Aaron Rodgers stay healthy, they're going to put up some points.
I mean, that defense is still, regardless of their record last year, their defense is one of the best, and they had no help from the offense. So do you imagine them having some time to rest and be able to have good positioning with the offense with Aaron Rodgers? Jets are a team to look out for, man. Yeah, I think the Jets will be pretty decent this year. And that division, Patriots, Miami, Jets. Who's that fourth team?
Oh, Buffalo.
Buffalo. Wild card? I don't think they win the division. I think they can get a wild card, though.
You hear about Denver?
No. Oh, I was kind of going off on the Jets, but.
Oh, okay.
No, Denver will be a game or two out of contention for a wild card. Because who's their quarterback this year?
Exactly. Before we find out who the quarterback is, how do you feel the way they just treated Russell Wilson? They just up and kind of. How do you feel about the way it ended with Russell Wilson?
I lied. They might win four games this year. Ben DiNucci and Jarrett Stidham?
They're probably going quarterback in the draft. Even then, with a rookie quarterback.
Four games, maybe. Three games. I think it's they can't go out and get anybody. Their cap is trash because of Russ. They don't have any picks. any good picks. Man,
they do pick at 12 this year.
But after that, they don't have many throughout the draft. Am I thinking of that correctly?
Yeah. So they got to go quarterback, right? Number one, first 12th pick.
So they have round 112, round 376, a fourth, 3/5, and 2/6.
That's because they traded away for the Russell trade.
Yeah. Man.
That's a tough road game for Denver, though.
Man, who could they get at 12 in the draft? Caleb, Drake, Jaden Daniels?
A lot of people got Jaden Daniels going second to Washington. They're really high on him.
Okay, so they think maybe Drake will fall
to the Patriots. And then Tennessee, do they pick a quarterback? Does Atlanta pick a quarterback? Minnesota's at 11. So,
yeah, there's no telling who they're able to get.
Should be fun, man. We're a week away. The Denver Broncos, man, you say you got them winning 4 games?
Now that I go over the QB, I thought they had a better quarterback situation. I say 3's their ceiling. I don't see them being
very good. Winning any road games? Chiefs, Chargers, Raiders, Ravens, Bengals, Jets, Saints, Bucks, Seahawks. I see them maybe beating the Chargers on the road.
That's one of the games that I was saying split. Yeah.
And then I think they can beat the Panthers at home. And I think maybe they can beat the Falcons at home. I'm going to give them 3 wins this year, too. That's just a tough NFL road schedule. I see them maybe winning 3 games. That'd be tough. Especially for a team who got rid of Russ and Sean Payton's in his second year. You would think that they're not ready for a rebuilding stage. Look at some of the mock drafts and see maybe where the Denver Broncos. So that's where I'm going. I think I'm going to go Denver Broncos with 3 wins this year. So until Craig gets back, though, unless you guys kind of want to know where we got our start or maybe some of the other stuff that we get our stuff into, we did start as a movie podcast. So we both kind of picked the Denver Broncos to win 3 games this year. Now we can go on and we can kind of talk. The Las Vegas Raiders have the 23rd easiest schedule. Home games again for the Raiders. They have at home the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Broncos, the Browns, the Steelers, the Jags, the Falcons, the Panthers. That's a pretty easy home game, home schedule. Away, they have the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Broncos, at the Ravens, at the Bengals, at the Dolphins, at the Saints, at the Bucks, at the Rams.
Man.
And then in the draft, they got the 13th overall pick.
That's a pretty favorable schedule, man. I think as far as home goes, you're splitting with the one with the Broncos. Who knows what they are? Probably pretty bad. Chargers are question mark. Falcons, Panthers, Steelers. Who knows where the Browns will be? Pretty favorable home schedule. Away,
a little tough.
I think Bengals, Ravens, Dolphins is pretty tough. Who knows where the Rams will be without Aaron Donald?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Man, who's their quarterback now? Anthony Brown, Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell?
Yeah, and they pick right after the Broncos. By the way, while you were gone, some of the mock drafts have the Broncos picking up J.J. McCarthy. The Broncos, they see him falling to 12. But if we know Antonio Pierce, I don't think he's going quarterback in the first round.
No.
If they completely let him do his thing.
If Antonio Pierce is – if I was a Broncos coach for this year, you're not fighting for anything more than to rebuild what the Broncos are. You got to build the team, get in a quarterback maybe next year, because you're probably going to have a pretty bad record next year. Then you'll have a higher pick in the draft. I don't think J.J. McCarthy is that guy. Much like I don't think Caleb Williams is that guy. But we'll see.
And honestly, the Raiders last year almost went to the playoffs with a janitor at their quarterback spot. I'm just being funny. But for real, nobody really knew who he was. And they almost went to the playoffs. But now that they've got Gardner Minshew, I think they can win. I'll go first. I think they beat the Panthers, the Falcons, the Jags. I think they beat the Broncos at home and on the road. I think they beat the Chargers at home. I do think they can beat the Chiefs at home. I see them winning 10 games this year. I can pick 10 games for them. I think they go 10 and 7.
I think they have
and they make a wild card spot.
I think they get 8 games, 9 at the max. I think they have a very similar record to last year.
Raiders, yeah. Especially with Minshew, he had a decent team around him last year in Indianapolis, but I think he's got a better defense and run game this year with him in Vegas.
Yeah. Defense for sure.
And then we didn't talk Kansas City Chiefs schedule yet, but they have the 10th easiest schedule. At home, they play the Broncos, the Chargers, the Raiders. They have the Ravens at home, the Bengals at home, the Texans at home, the Saints at home, and the Buccaneers at home. That's a tough home schedule. And then on the road, they play the Broncos, the Chargers, the Raiders, at the Steelers, at the Browns, at the Bills, at the Falcons, at the Panthers, and then at the 49ers in a Super Bowl rematch.
Yeah. I think they beat the Chargers and Broncos 4 times this year, so there's 4 wins. I think they beat the Falcons. I think they beat the Steelers. That's all. Yeah.
They beat the Panthers. And with it being at home, I think they take the Bills too. I think they're going to beat the Bills.
Yeah. I think they beat the Bills. I think they beat the Bucks at home. I think they beat. I'll probably take the Texans too. So you're looking at. Ravens will be pretty tough. So you're looking at possibly the Bengals, Texans, Saints, Bucks, split with the Raiders, Broncos, Chargers.
Man, if they stay healthy, I might have them at 14 and 3.
See what I'm saying? Like, you break it down, that's one of the easiest looking teams to win the division, man. Like, it's if not division, you can guarantee them hitting the playoffs.
Yeah,
for sure.
Worst case scenario, they go 13-4.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's winning the division. I mean, looking at it, I don't see the Raiders winning more than 10. I don't see the Broncos winning more than 4 or 3. And I damn sure don't see the Chargers winning more than 4 or 5. So, like you said, even with the backup quarterback, I think they could probably win the division.
AFC West winner, they have the Chiefs at -250, Chargers at -325, Raiders at +850.
See, I don't agree with that. I think the Raiders, especially on paper, even with Gardner Minshew compared to
the Chargers, Justin Herbert,
I still feel the Raiders are a more complete team.
I feel like that should be flopped. I agree. Broncos are +2,000, so that tells you how much.
Well, I wonder if the schedule has anything to do with that too, because this may be just people picking, Harbaugh's coming in,
Yeah.
And a lot of people are going to have Antonio Pierce and the Raiders. I don't think they're going to be prepared for what he brings to the team. Just remember last year he was not the complete coach. You know, this year he's going to have his own offseason, his own workouts. He's going into a full season with all his own staff this time. But you know what? I look to see Antonio Pierce. If he can't do to the Raiders, I look to see what he does to the Raiders, what old dude did in Detroit.
Yeah.
I don't think they have their quarterback yet. But, man, if they can get a quarterback, look out.
Yeah, the Lions had every piece of the recipe needed. And Dan Campbell was able to put that together in a couple years, man. That's
and in a few weeks, I can't wait to talk the AFC South, because the Houston Texans have the third easiest schedule. Oh no, they have the third hardest schedule. So it's gonna be fun to talk about.
Yeah,
but next week though, we will talk about the AFC North. So we're talking the Baltimore Ravens, Steelers, Browns, and the Cincinnati Bengals. That should be a fun division to kind of break down. So can't wait for that.
AFC champ, Chiefs 300 or +300. Interesting.
Winning it all again.
Chiefs are the favorite to win the Super Bowl. Yes.
Man, three-peat.
That would be.
We haven't seen that. Well, I don't think we've ever seen that in our lifetime. Because there's everybody's been 2 out of 3.
'29 to 1931 and 1965 to 1967, Packers did it twice. Mm-hmm. Only two times.
Interesting.
Wow. So, I mean, if you're looking at it statistically, you probably shouldn't bet on the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl, but you look around the NFL and I don't know, man. If there was a year for them to not win it, I think it would be this year. Not just adding in the fact that they have won back to back and not many teams have won three-peat, the chip on their, or the, you know, the target on their back, the whole Rasheed Rice situation and getting in some new players here and there. Travis Kelce getting a little bit older. He kind of looked like he slowed down towards the end of the season last year. So we'll see. We'll see. Interesting, though. Interesting. Yeah, I do thoroughly believe it'll be Chiefs, Raiders, Chargers, Broncos in that division, 1, 2, 3, 4.
I agree with you. And then, man, 1 week from today, man, draft show. You ready?
NFL draft. I'm curious what happens. I think Caleb Williams is going to be the number one pick. I something about him. He played at OU.
If we go live like we have been on Thursdays, we'll go right there and kind of talk draft as it's happening live. Yeah. If you want to.
Yeah, we can do that. Man, Caleb played here at OU. Great instinctual player. Can make all the throws in the world. I just don't believe. I think USC did a lot of bad for him. I think that market, I think NIL, I think him just continuously being under Lincoln Riley, I think that did a lot more bad than good for him. I see a lot of Johnny Manziel in this guy. Not as much of the gambling and all the stuff that we saw in the Johnny Manziel documentary, but I see a lot of stuff interfering with them. You look at CJ Stroud, you don't see a lot of him being involved in a lot of weird stuff like he didn't want to be drafted here, he didn't want to do this, he didn't want to do that. It was just strictly like, here's this film, here's the guy, he can play. Same thing with, you know, a lot of these other quarterbacks, but then you get around these people and it's like, Johnny Manziel had a lot of baggage. He has a lot of baggage. How well can you carry it when you get to that point? So I don't know. We'll see. I personally don't think he will adjust to the NFL. I think he'll have very, very good moments. But I think what he was able to do in college isn't going to be able to translate to the NFL. So.
Should be pretty interesting. Draft next week. I'm excited. I can't wait. I'm going to run down the raw results real quick from Monday night, and then we will wrap everything up. It started off. Monday Night Raw, just a few weeks away from their big Backlash pay-per-view. It was from the Bell Center in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. Another sellout, no surprise. Rhea Ripley had to relinquish her world championship due to injury. Pretty sad. You can always tell those things are sad whenever they have real tears in their eyes. So she'll be out for a while. Sheamus came back after almost 8 months of being out. He defeated Ivar. Triple H came out and awarded The Miz and R-Truth the brand new look World Tag Team Championships. They look pretty snazzy. Then they had a triple threat tag team match. The winner would probably face them at the next pay-per-view. DIY won that match. Candice LeRae and Maxine Dupree won their tag team match. You also had Dominic Mysterio versus Andrade. Andrade won that match.
Caden Carter and Katana Chance versus Piper Niven and Chelsea Green.
Yeah, Chelsea Green and Piper Niven's won that match. Yeah, and they're pushing this Liv Morgan revenge tour pretty hard, almost like it was a freak accident, supposedly, what happened last week. But it looks like Liv Morgan is going to start being the bad guy, and she'll probably get a little bit more TV time now that Rhea Ripley's not there. Cody Rhodes had his in-ring promo. He is still yet to wrestle on TV since winning the Undisputed title. They're now calling it the Undisputed WWE Championship instead of what they were calling it. Jey Uso came out. Man, his interest is something else. I don't know if you've seen it lately, Craig, but he's eating over. He's eating all over everybody. The crowd is almost just in that stance. It's almost like hot every time he comes out, almost like a Daniel Bryan entrance where everybody was doing like the yes thing, but now everybody's eating there on everybody. So,
Jey Uso. Everybody's doing what to him?
They're eating. When he comes out, everybody does the yeeting.
Oh, okay.
Pat McAfee will get up on the table and he'll yeet as well, and it's pretty funny to watch. It's pretty good. Jey Uso versus Finn Balor. It was a pretty fun match, but they're really pushing Jey. Jey ended up winning. Jey will probably face Damian Priest for the World Heavyweight Championship at Backlash, which is going to be in France. That'll be a really, really fun crowd to look at. And then the main event was Sami Zayn, Intercontinental Champion, defending it against Chad Gable. The match was really, really good. It was back and forth. The crowd was into it. Sami Zayn had a really fun going through the crowd entrance since he was in his hometown. I believe they had a hockey playoff line on the match the night after, so that crowd was already hot. They were giving Chad Gable a lot of Kurt Angle-like moments and moves in the ring, and he's nailing them on all the spot. But the match went, I think, 24 minutes. Sami Zayn won, went outside, celebrated with his wife, and then Chad Gable did a heel turn. He's a bad guy now. He went up and kicked the shit out of Sami Zayn, and that's how the show ended. So pretty fun stuff. Monday Night Raw, it was pretty fun. You guys can catch it live on USA every Monday. Or, I mean, sometimes I watch the Hulu version. Sometimes I can't sit 3 hours through a live version, or I'll record it and just skim through some of the other stuff. Yeah. But the Hulu version is like, man, an hour and a half. But they do cut a lot out, though. So,
I like to see his entrance, because I think I know what you're talking about, but I like can't find anything of that entrance.
Oh yeah, you'd probably have to do like a probably a YouTube thing.
I'm on YouTube. I can't really find it, but maybe I'll just go back and rewatch Raw. You said it's on Peacock.
It is on Hulu.
Hulu. All right.
Yeah, you can watch it on Hulu every Tuesday.
So I wanted to bring this up. Kind of curious who is a free agent in the NBA this year, which I might pull that up as well. Kind of going back to the Warriors, which we were talking about. They're on the hook for quite a bit of money between Steph, Chris Paul, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green. Granted, the salary cap is going up in 2024, but they're losing Klay Thompson. It's kind of hard to tell exactly who. Klay Thompson, Dario Saric.
So you don't think there's no you don't think they'll keep Klay Thompson at all?
I think Klay wants a max, and I don't think they're wanting to pay him the max. So it's up to Clay at this point. Maybe he'll come to a realization that, you know, I've made a lot of money playing. I would rather stay with Golden State in a bench role just so that my legacy kind of stays. You know, it's me and Steph for our careers type thing. Or he might go and look for the max somewhere. So we'll see. I think that performance in the final game where he went over 10, over 7 from 3, or over 6 for 3, having a struggle year, I think that it'll hinder how much money he makes in the offseason.
Don't you think also maybe he doesn't want that to be his last game in at Golden State?
You never know. He stopped and kind of took it all in the other day after they lost, looking like it could be his last game. So you never know. Never know. I mean, he was making $43 million in this contract.
Do you see a team out there that'll pay that kind of money to make him a max player?
You want to know the only team that I know has that kind of room?
New York?
The Thunder. I don't know why they would. I've seen some people mock it to him coming here, but Clay has pretty good defense. He can get very hot and streaky. I do think the Thunder need to focus on a big man. But I would be interested to see who all they lose this year, the Thunder, in terms of contracts expiring and everything. But I think this will be one of the wackiest free agents we've had in a while, free agencies. Because you got Klay Thompson's going to be a free agent, James Harden, Pascal Siakam, Gordon Hayward, Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, D'Angelo Russell, Buddy Hield. Not a lot of big names, but a lot of key role players that can make or break a team and their run in the playoffs. So a lot of good names in here. Like I said, that can really put a team over the edge. Especially you have a team built like the Thunder. They're all young. They're all still under contract. I think maybe Josh Giddey will be due for a contract.
They bring James Harden back to the Thunder.
You never know, man.
But it should be interesting. Man, anything else you want to talk about before we head out here?
No. Trying to think. I played WWE 2K the other day.
What'd you think?
It's not bad. I had a lot of fun with it. I went Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns. Hit that man with like 12 crossroads. Had a 5-star match, you know, for the people. It was fun though.
For it being a simulator game, it's real fun as far as like trying to do everything that right next to what they do on TV and stuff.
Yeah.
The modes are fun too, like the showcase and those kind of modes too.
Yeah. I didn't have too much playtime with it. I tried it on Steam, the PC, so that I could know if I wanted it. And then I refunded it, and I think I'm going to get it on the PlayStation just because it's not crossplay, and I know PlayStation would have more users than PC. So, but it was fun. WrestleMania really got me kind of like in that itch. So, the Thunder have 3 players, free agents: Mike Muscala, Bismack Biyombo, and Gordon Hayward. So, if they're off the hook for Gordon Hayward, they have an extra $30 million. Plus, to be able to spend. Granted, some of that's going to get eat up for Josh Giddey if they keep him. But if they don't keep Josh Giddey and they get rid of Gordon Hayward or they let him go, got another max player coming into a team that was, let's be honest, Josh Giddey was good, but he wasn't a key cog in the wheel to make the Thunder the one seed.
Giddy one, getting it.
So you add two or three pieces for that amount of money that are really good. Thunder could be right back in the one seed next year. They could, the Thunder could really start a dynasty if the players look back and they're like, we don't want what happened to the KD, Russ, Harden, Ibaka. We don't want that to happen to us. And they find a way to make it all work with each other and the front office. And I think the front office will be thinking the same thing. We don't want that to happen. So let's be smart about our moves. They could really start to build something long-term, really special here. So,
bad taste in your mouth. Let's say they get knocked out first round. Where do you think they go? Same thing. You think they'll try to still build for that?
Say they get knocked out first round. Mm-hmm. They go big scoring wing, and they go big five position, because that was their biggest thing. Was they have good length all around, but they don't have excess length on the wing, and they don't have big depth at the five. So
are they physical though? Are they big? Are they nasty? Or is that what they're lacking?
The Thunder's just very hands in spaces, very good rotation. So you have to be able to find a five that'll be able to stand his ground, yet still be able to move and rotate. And you need a three who's going to be able to score, defend, and just fit in with the chemistry and movement of the ball. You don't need somebody who Shea's your dominant ball handler. So you don't need somebody who's just a straight up stand in the corner, shoot a three, but you need somebody who's good spreading the floor, good attacking, kind of an all-around wing that's about 6'7", 6'8". Kevin Durant, where are you at? He's still on the hook at Phoenix, but never know, man. Never know. I think he's on the hook out there. Yeah, he's still on the hook, but
they made the playoffs too, right?
Yeah, they're the sixth seed. But say Phoenix gets knocked out first round. If there was a team that would make trades to change things up, it would have to be Phoenix. They are out of picks. They kind of put themselves in a hole with all the trades that they've made lately. So, KD could be out there.
Daddy, do I have to take a shower today?
Hey, go in there. I'm almost done.
Daddy, do I have to take a shower? Yes.
I don't. Go in there, please.
I don't want to.
Doesn't understand. I don't know, but we'll see. We'll see. It'll be, like I said, it'll be interesting offseason. Interesting to see who does what, especially with the cap going up.
Should be fun week. A lot of stuff going on this weekend. NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs start, and then let's not forget next week's episode. We're talking NFL draft, AFC North, all in another new episode of Sports Breakers. So hang out with us and watch the draft, kind of like a watch along next week. So
yeah,
should be kind of fun. Other than that, man, have a good week, everybody. Thanks for listening. Should be it. We'll talk to you next week for the NFL draft.
Later.